World Cricket Weekly Talk is a Titan GSG production.
That is a terrific shot.
Hello, I'm Nigel Reed, and welcome to another edition of World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. On today's show, Brave New World, Cricket Canada has a new CEO. Doug Hannum is with us to talk about the way forward. Also this week, for club and county, the domestic season is underway in England, and so are we to get the inside track on the four-day format. And the ICC cuts funding to US cricket. We're in America to find out what's gone wrong and what needs to be done to fix the problem. All that and more this week here on World Cricket Weekly Talk. Another hit out or get out show on the way, and to help me to keep my head down and focus, as always, is my co-host, Canadian World Cup batsman Zubin Sukari, for whom the great outdoors finally beckons. And it seems to me that there hasn't been a lot of snow or a lot of rain or a lot of cold weather for quite a while. And yet you're still practicing indoors. Shouldn't you have been outdoors for a few weeks and smelling the freshly cut grass?
We've been out a couple times, but nothing organized, just kind of a run around and a few catches here and there. I think everybody's waiting for the optimal temperature of 18 plus, I think maybe something like that. But yeah, I mean, we'll probably get going in the next 2 weeks, and boys will be ready mid-May.
I certainly hope so. Talk a little bit about the weather, and it has been an extremely mild winter and spring to everybody that I've spoken to who are native Torontonians like yourself who've lived their entire lives here. I wonder what sort of difference that might make to, you know, the square this season.
Yeah, I think it's mainly the coverage of the wickets that we get. I mean, you can tell that they're already fairly full and green. You definitely don't want to freeze now. It really damaged the wicket. But yeah, it's just a matter of getting a bit of heat on it, and that should make it nice and good for batting.
Well, I was going to say, you jumped the gun there. You preempted me and you clearly read my mind. I was going to say, as a batsman, what sort of wicket do you want to bat on?
Yeah, you definitely want a wicket that kills a bowler's spirit, you know, and comes in and just lines it up and knows he's in it for the long day. You want one that's got good coverage and not too many dry patches and good for batting and bowling. There's a bit of movement off the wicket. So
I suppose from a groundsman's point of view, it's a slightly tricky exercise because you don't necessarily want to prepare a batsman's paradise where you can bat all day and all the next day and nobody's going to take any wickets. But at the same time, you don't want to prepare a wicket which is a wonder show for the bowlers and it's impossible to bat on and everybody's out before lunch on day one.
Yeah, I actually don't like flat wickets, and I think it's, you know, you want it to be competitive and scoring runs shouldn't be easy. But if you have the right application, you kind of fight it out a little bit, you should get reward for that. Obviously, the difference between the one-day games and the longer version of the game is the deterioration of the wicket over the course of 3 or 4 days.
We look forward to the start of the outdoor season, which, of course, is well underway in many other parts of the world. We'll talk about IPL 5 in a moment and an unbelievable finish between Chennai and Bangalore. But before that, let's have a word on the West Indies and Australia. We touched on it last week. The three-test series is underway, and the West Indies, having come to that agreement with Chris Gayle, but quite a number of their players, Bravo and one or two others, playing in IPL 5. And yet, even though those key players are away, that first test was perhaps a lot closer than a lot of people thought it might be.
It had everything that you want out of a test match in terms of the ups and downs and where a game can actually go. And it's what cricket needs, and it's a good example of what the game can provide in the longer form. I was thrilled to see the early declaration from Michael Clarke. I thought, what a great way to, what good tactic.
Make
to
a game out of it.
And make a game out of it, which exactly it did. You know, an amazing fight back by the Australian, the lower order. But credit to the West Indies. They played well. It's a format that they haven't done that well in the last little while. You know, I'm a huge West Indies fan, and I want to see them do well. I think they proved themselves worthy.
Are they close enough to square the series or at least win one of these three test matches?
They probably had the best chance this time.
Will they get another one is my thought.
I mean, I think they will. They're doing all the things right. Their bowling's going pretty well. They handle the top order pretty well, which means that, you know, Australia's struggling with it as well. And they didn't chase it down that easily either. 192 took them into the tail as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, the guys like Roach and Sammy who are bowling well, they can definitely push them the distance.
Meanwhile, from the five-day game to the quick version, T20, of course, in the form of the Indian Premier League and IPL 5 well underway now. Mumbai, I see, going well again, even without Sachin Tendulkar. And I was looking on Twitter yesterday and I saw a picture, and the picture just shows his middle finger, I think it is his middle finger, on perhaps his left or his right hand.
and it's a mess. He got hit in the first game by Bollinger, and that finger is black and blue, literally. And he's missed three games, and yet Mumbai going well without him. So they're not a one-man team, clearly. And after watching Chennai win for the last 2 years, it strikes me that the Indians are doubly determined to make sure it doesn't happen again.
With Chennai, I think Mumbai is the other team that's retained a lot of their players, which has helped them, you know, getting a bit of cohesion in the team and having a bit of, you know, it's good to know who you're playing with. And to some extent, I know there's been a lot of changes to the other teams, but Chennai's kind of stayed the same. They're their core group of guys, and obviously, you're going to miss a guy like Tendulkar in any format of the game, but they have guys in the tank and on the bench coming through that are incredible. You got Pollard playing for them, and you know somebody who can really change the game in that format in a very short period of time. So
now, you know as well as I do that when Chris Gayle gets going, there's usually only one outcome. He usually ends up with a Man of the Match award, and he usually scores a lot of runs in a very short space of time, and his team usually wins. I'm not sure that I've ever seen what I saw earlier this week with Bangalore playing Chennai, and for all money, Bangalore had won that game. They'd scored 200 plus in 20 overs. Chennai needed 43, I think, off the last two overs. To all intents and purposes, Zoob, impossible. And then Albie Morkel, South African all-rounder, comes in and, well, ever seen anything like that? I mean, seven deliveries, that's all he was there for. And suddenly, in the blink of an eye, the whole momentum and the game changed.
That's not an indication of what this game brings. I mean, there's been games where people have turned off and go, this is done and dusted, and then you've turned it on the next
game.
Well,
you would for that. You think there's no chance.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, if anybody knows Albie Morkel, he's an incredible striker of the ball. But to do it consistently over that short period of time is impressive, very impressive.
Is there some luck involved in that sort of situation? Because, I mean, you're under intense pressure. You've literally got to hit out or get out. I mean, there's no building anything. You've just got to come in and start swinging. And when you're there for 2 fours and 3 sixes and 28 odd in seven deliveries, I mean, as you say, he's an incredible striker of the ball. And when he starts swinging and the ball starts flying, then, of course, that puts the bowler under pressure as well.
Lucky, I mean, he's trying to hit the ball, and he's looking to hit boundaries. If there were inside edges going down to the boundary and flying over slip and or over the keeper, that's one thing. But I think they're fairly good strikes, and for the most part, clearing the ropes and doing what he's supposed to do. Luck is definitely there. It's you know, there's obviously some skill and some ability behind it.
Before we close off this segment, just a word about Canada closing out their visit to Namibia with a couple of 50-over games. One win, good credit, and then one loss, which didn't look so impressive. What did you take from those games and those performances?
Yeah, I think they'd be pretty disappointed. Nobody wants to lose, and you don't want to lose against a team that you should be beating, or at least competing against in that format. The four-day stuff, you know, you compete for 90% of it, and that's fine. The 10% that you don't is where you're going to lose, and unfortunately that happened there. The one-day games, they showed some definite improvement in terms of their approach and things like that, but in the top order did okay. But again, there's that middle order issue and the seniority of the batsman not taking it and running with it. But I think they're going to definitely have to do some internal deciding and
soul searching.
But let's not discredit Namibia. They're a good team. If you look on each one of their players and the amount of actual one-day games and four-day games they play, they're an experienced side. But, you know, that's something that we have to strive to be. We should be beating these guys.
Another learning process for Canada. This is World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.